You wouldn't know how great they are unless we had great sound so you could hear them. Southern Audio provides the sound. They always do Winterhawk. They do a great job. This next act, the one gentleman is no stranger to the Winterhawk stage. He has been chosen as IBMA's Dobro Player of the Year many, many years. He's a consummate musician. He's accompanied by two others of equal caliber joining him on the Winterhawk stage. Would you make welcome Jerry Douglas, Russ Barenberg, and Edgar Meyer. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That last tune we played was written by Edgar Meyer, and it was written for Jerry and I believe. It's called Why Don't You Go Back to the Woods? And we started off with an old fiddle tune called Angeline the Baker, and kind of, and here's one called Big Bug Shuffle. Thank you. Thanks very much. Well, expect the unexpected. We're going to let Jerry Douglas, you know, he can play more dobro on five strings than most of us could on 20. But we're going to, Edgar Meyer's going to play a solo for you now. A scary thought, but one which will amuse you and entertain you, I hope. And satisfy your deepest, whatevers. Thank you. Hey, folks. Hey. Hi. This is Russ Barenberg on the guitar. And it's nice to be able to come here and play for you today. And you've just met Edgar Meyer. I know a lot of people up here had asked me in the past, who's this Edgar Meyer cat anyway? Is he for real? Does he really exist, or is he just some old guy in Nashville that plays on records? Well, he's an old guy. Looks real young, but he's a really old guy. He's about 80. We're all about 80. Miles-wise, that is. Well, we're going to play a tune. We have a record coming out on Sugar Hill this fall. And we don't know what the name of the album is yet. And we don't know what the name of this next tune is yet either. So far, we don't know a whole lot of anything about this record. So we just know it's going to come out sometime, hopefully in October. Right, Barry Paws? But this is one tune off the record. This is called, appropriately named right now, the B Minors tune. Thank you. Thank you. That was a group, a set, a score, a brace of contra dance fiddle tunes, like I used to play in Boston years ago, like I play in Hillsdale today. We're going to do a song now called Open Arms. Thank you.
sound. 10 minutes.
We're going to do a song now for you. That was a song called Open Arms, by the way. Russ Barenberg wrote that song. And we're going to do a song now that's not quite so pretty. This is a song that Russ and I wrote in my basement a long time ago. And we started out trying to write a song that would be hard to play and that we could enter in the international note contest in Weezer, Idaho. And we came up with this song. Every day we would add a little part to it. And finally we got it. It was so hard we couldn't play it. So we had to back up a little bit. And we finally finished the song. And it's Edgar's favorite song in the world. That's what you told me last night. Well, he's undecided now. He's waffling. But this is a song called Push Too Far.
Been a blast playing for you today, and it's really nice to have such cool weather after coming up from the soup down south. It's a beautiful festival. We're going to play one more tune for you. It's a Cajun-esque kind of thing, which Jerry has a little story about.
This is a song that I got from an accordion player in a Cajun band. And every night when the gig was over, he would put his accordion in the case, and to do that, he would just close the accordion and not push any keys or anything, and it would just kind of go. And he called that the emphysema waltz. So I added a couple of chords and speeded the song up a little bit. And last summer we were doing some gigs for a Marlboro Tobacco Company. And every night we were closing our set with this song, and at the end of the tour, this lady came up to me and she goes, "Well, you guys are really great. We really like you having you out here on the tour and everything. But you know, that last song's really got to go." I guess she didn't like this tune. It's called the Emphysema Two-Step. Thank you.
Jerry Douglas, Russ Barenberg, and Edgar Meyer.
Thank you. This is another song from our new record that's coming out. We know the name of this one, though. This is a song that Russ wrote, and it's a short, slow song, very beautiful, as all Russ's tunes are. And we'll leave you with this one. We'll see you later on this evening. Thanks for coming. Thanks for putting up with the sandblasting from the side over here. Oh, this tune's called Here on Earth.
Douglas, Russ Barenberg, and Edgar Meyer. Jerry and friends will be back to close the show at 12:10 tonight. Stick around.
I'm Jerry Douglas. This is Mike Aldridge. No, Mike couldn't make it, so
can I be?
You can be John Duffy.
What a pleasure. That's too hard. I'm not that good an actor.
You have the right shirt, though. It goes with his pants he had on. Well, we're gonna. You can. You know.
I'll play a tune first, since this is supposed to be a Dobro workshop, right? So I'll play a tune. We can do questions, or if you... I really want to just play with these guys, because I don't get it. This is an unexpected surprise for me, and I... That's a good way to put it, in an unexpected surprise. It's, instead of us...
It's kind of like when Edgar described his action as extremely medium.
Right at the edge there. Yeah.
Okay, Webster. Yeah.
I thought it was great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh. Thanks.
Well, I hadn't played that one in a while, so I was kind of, and I've never played the Stobro before either, so I'm used to it now, though. We know each other quite well here. Well, this is Russ Barenberg, and this is Edgar Meyer, and they're going to help me on this. So, before we get too far out here, does anybody have a pertinent question this time? I have two finger picks and one thumb pick. Well, I play sometimes with my ring finger on my right hand. I use it for texture reasons. Just for if I don't want a metallic ping on the front of the note, I'll use my ring finger. I wrote parts of it. the hardest part of it is the Big Mun part of it. It's a Bill Monroe song. It's the fastest part.
Bluegrass is harder than anything else, let's face it.
Yeah.
I notice that sometimes on stage you have the screens out.
I took the screens out of the R.Q. Jones guitar that I play a lot for studio reasons. Well, originally, the reason I took them out was because I had this pickup that was too high if I left the screens in. So I took the pickup, I took the screens out so the pickup would lay flat on the guitar. And then I noticed that if I wanted to get a lot more bass out of the guitar, you know, always you move the guitar, the microphone, toward these screens because that's actually the bass port section of the guitar. And that guitar... that particular guitar just mellowed out a little bit more with those screens out. I just got a better mix when I listen to it. When I listen to the guitar, when I play it, I like the tone of it better with the screens out because I think they muffle the low end a little bit.
You wouldn't expect the average parking lot picker to notice the difference.
Well, yeah, you might, but. I don't know. I wouldn't, you know, it's easier for rain to get down in there if you're out in the parking lot playing it. Yeah.
Yeah, you said you just got that Dobro. Could you give us a little history of that Dobro and the instrument, the Dobro, compared to, say, an electric guitar?
Well, the Dobro guitar originally was built by some brothers who emigrated to California from Czechoslovakia. And they liked Hawaiian guitars, but they weren't loud enough for them. So they built their design, their real the thing that they really brought to the guitar was invention of this metal section back here that acts like a speaker cone inside the guitar and projects sound back out like a speaker cabinet does. Same principle. And they put this cover plate on the top and. The rest of it is pretty much basically a guitar. This particular guitar was made by a guy named Tim Shearhorn, who's here today. And he's made a lot of these guitars now. It's becoming a real popular kind of guitar here. And he does a great job on them. And it's maple. It's made out of maple, neck, body, everything. It has a special baffle design inside it. It's different than the original Dobro design was just a round barrel kind of area inside. It had a barrel that went from the top of the guitar to the bottom of the guitar like a sound well and had round holes cut through it. And Tim improved on that design a lot. And I don't want to give away any of his secrets, so I won't elaborate any further on that. But they're great guitars, and I would endorse them. Say tell anyone to buy one. Let's go back here. Yeah, I have. Yeah, they're great guitars too. They're good guitars. Yeah, they're good guitars. I prefer these, but I've heard a lot of really good Paul Beard guitars. And the thing about Tim's guitars, not just anyone can build a great dobro, but Tim's guitars are all consistently great, I think. And that's that means a lot. When you want to endorse something and tell someone they should go out and buy it, you don't want them to buy one that's a dog, you know. And every one of these I've played has been great. I think there's somewhere under 2,000. I'm not sure. It's right around there. Yeah.
I noticed earlier this afternoon it looked like your mic system weren't using microphones that were going direct to the system.
I was. It's good. It's a new sound. You know, it's different than when you plug something in. It's not going to sound acoustic. I don't care what you do to it. I don't care if you have a microphone in it. It's not going to sound like it does if the microphone's out here in the front like this. It doesn't sound like that. So you just have to get used to what you have and try to get the best sound that you can possibly get with the equipment you have to use. And I find it advantageous just for the reason that I can move on stage and I'm not tied to a mic. You know, I'm not tied to a mic on a stand. I can move around. I can go between these guys and can run around each other. You know, we can jump all over the stage if we wanted to. But and when you hit the other guy with your guitar, you can actually hear it. Back here. I play wooden-bodied dobros. Yes. All the time. I've played metal bodies, but it's a different sound, and for what I do and what I need out of the instrument, the wooden bodies serve me the best. Sometimes I play a Weisenborn. It's a Hawaiian guitar. I didn't bring one of those with me. Oh, yeah. I guess so. Just from listening to him, and Edgar and I played on a Leo Kaki record a while back. It was a record called My Father's Face. Was that the name of it? It's the one that's got, he talks about his kid has a face like a walnut. I remember that line of the song. Yeah.
When you play at the level that you do, do you find that you sometimes reach a plateau where you don't change, don't improve? And if so, what do you do to raise yourself to a higher level?
Well, everyone reaches plateaus. And the only way to get off of that plateau is just to resign yourself to the fact that you are on a plateau and that you will someday be off of it, and just play yourself out of it, and that's the only way I know of, and because I reach them, you know, I get. And in all kinds of ways, not just in playing, but just in career, just, you know, or everybody, you can apply that to anything.
Just to follow it up, I try to play with people who are better than I am, but
yeah.
You probably find that difficult to play.
No, I don't care how good you get, you're always going to, you know, I walk into sessions sometimes and I worry about if I'm going to make a fool out of myself playing through this thing, and you know, it usually ends up okay, you know, but there's always that thought back there, you know, that, you know, maybe this is the day that you've met your match. Well, a lot of the things that we play that are, that Edgar has written, and a lot of things we write between the three of us are classically influenced, I think. So that's really as close as I've gotten. I don't sit down with a page of Bach, you know, and play that. Edgar does. It's tuned in open G from the first string up. It's D, B, G, D, B, G, an octave lower. Hillbilly music, hillbilly tuning. I use different tunings sometimes. I usually stay in a G tuning, except when we were talking about this Weisenborn guitar I use a lot. It's tuned. I've tuned it all kinds of ways, but usually in a major key. You know, usually straight across like a C tuning. up to an E tuning. It depends on the gauge of strings. You know, you have to be careful with those Weisenborn guitars too, because they're so fragile. But there are I'm just lowering my B string down to an A. What I'm doing is actually I'm pulling the second string behind the bar with my ring finger. I'm trying not to make a face when I do it. Sometimes it feels like a cheese grater, you know. And there, you can also lower your low G string down to an E. And unless you have Scruggs tuners, you know, it's kind of hard to get it right back. We should play something, I think. We should really. You want to play?
I don't know. Play something that has.
Let's play the C tune. This is a tune we have on our record that we've been trying to learn it. We haven't really played it in front of anybody yet, so you all don't count, okay? We'll play this tune. It's called the C tune, but we don't.
Maybe in another lifetime.
Edgar calls this maybe in another lifetime. Maybe that's the name of it. Maybe not.
We say maybe we'll get another title. No, that could be it. That could be it.
We throw these titles around, you know, like we write these tunes and we write them. And for the longest time, everybody I know, like Bela and Sam, all these people we play with, we always write these tunes and we don't have names for them until the day before we have to send in the label copy for the record to come out, you know. So for right now, this is called the C tune, or AKA maybe in another lifetime.
Maybe not.
Maybe not.
You got a guitar in the monitor? It's kind of dark.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You heard it here first. Almost unscathed. What else? Let's play Coyote.
Okay.
This is a fiddle tune that Russ found. This is an old song called Big Coyote. We like to call it Big Coyote.
Yeah, I learned it from Mark Graham. That's a great harmonica player and songwriter. I know Scott Nygaard recorded it, which I found out later. But I think it came, they all got it from this from a fiddler in West Virginia, I believe. One of Jerry's home states.
Anybody got any questions? Way back there. A little.
Alabama?
Alabama? Alabama?
Alabama?
Alabama? Alabama?
It's like vermin.
Vermin. I'm not sure I know it.
No, we're not lying. We're being completely honest with you, sir.
I think he may be talking about
Alabama?
I'm not sure.
It's a ragtime sort of thing.
Did I record it?
Are you talking about
a long time ago?
Hey Jerry, let's. Hey Jerry, let's do one of those other ones, new ones, and call it that.
Oh. Being blinded by the light.
This guitar? Yeah. It's
I think I remember part 40s. Of it, but not all of it.
Somewhere between 43 and 45, as far as I can tell. It says only a Gibson is good enough. Despite Norman's song about the D-18.
It convinced Russ. He took one look at that and he said, okay.
That's what sold me on the guitar. I just read it. Yes, I need that. Were you thinking of Alabama Jubilee?
No.
No.
He's talking about I'm going back to Alabama.
That Jim and Jesse?
I can't remember it. I made that mistake of singing one song on a record once. And I had a cold, and it took me almost a whole bottle of Jack Daniels to get through that song. And by the time I got done with it, I didn't give a damn what it sounded like. What can we play, though?
We can play.
We can play. Thank you. Hey, Mark, anybody have a question? Yeah, spell it right here. I played, first real instrument I had was a mandolin when I was 5. And then I started playing guitar when I was 7. And I started playing dobro when I was 11. So I've been playing 26 years. Dobro, 26 years.
So you're 37.
Yes, Einstein.
Man, he's going from Einstein, from Weber to Einstein here.
Get them all covered. I played in my dad had a band. All the time I was growing up, my dad always had a band. And he played guitar and sang lead in the band. And his band was the first one I was in. I was playing in bars with them when I was 14.
Did he pay you right?
He paid me right. That's right, buddy. Play that dobro. You can go home tonight. It wasn't like that at all. Yeah. He never pushed me to play. That's something really important, I think, is that the parents don't push their kids to play. If your kid wants to play, he'll play. They'll play.
Is your dad still involved in that festival in Warren?
No. My dad had a festival in Warren, Ohio for 8 years, I think he had the festival. And didn't exactly make money, but he didn't lose money. I don't know how festival promoters figure that out, but he figured it was time to get out. So he got out, and he retired from the steel mills up there. He was in the steel mills for 33 years, and retired from there, moved back home to West Virginia up on top of a ridge and built a nice log house, and he's very happy there now. American dream does work, yeah, once in a while. Yeah.
During your formative years, who are some types of music or some of your influences besides other dobro players?
Well, I listened to Josh Graves. You know, that was my main influence in Flatten Scruggs. And then at real late at night, when I was supposed to be sleeping, I was listening to a radio station out of Youngstown, and I heard the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. And I remember a cousin of mine moved in with us for a while and brought the Mamas and the Papas and a bunch of stuff like that. You know, we'd play that stuff late at night. So my folks didn't want to hear it during the day. But that's really where I grew up was really most of the musicians that come out of there were all heavy metal musicians. And
it was a steel town, right?
Yeah. Gee, I really miss Mike Aldridge right now. Handball. No, it's confusing. It was really hard. But mostly Edgar and Russ got the bodies of most of the tunes ready, and I would come in and go, well, how about this, you know, how about this, and they'd say no. And
not entirely.
We each wrote tunes for the record, too, but we get along, you know. No one would say, oh, that sucks, you know.
Well, we didn't like have that to come up with an artificial agreement or things like that, because it's a tricky thing, because there's both, you know, especially creatively, people find themselves wanting to have more influence, you know, and I think we've had a pretty good time splitting it equally.
Yeah, it's just a balance that you end up with, you know, sort of. It wobbles all the way, and then you end up with some tunes.
But the process, it does vary somewhat. You know, it's not always the same. Sometimes we just sit down and start playing together and try to come up with a germ of an idea, and other times someone will just, you know, you write a tune individually, which is in some ways is quite a different process. So we'll take them wherever we get them.
That's right. Do you consider yourself a bluegrass band or a blues band?
None of the above.
Well, we're not a bluegrass band, and we're not a blues band either. But we are. Well, Russ and I are. I think our music is more derived from bluegrass music than any other. Edgar comes from a completely classical background, although he did play in a in a church group for a while. Played bass in a black church in a church band one for a while, right?
That was fun.
That was fun.
Well, yes, I mean, I grew up playing jazz with my dad.
So. Edgar's father was a bass player. Played jazz and big band music and stuff. So we have a lot of influences and stuff comes from everywhere. I don't know what we should call ourselves, you know. It's hard these days to pigeonhole your music.
Right.
Tell somebody what it is.
But there is something grunge. Kind of, I think, important about it, more fundamental, that it comes from bluegrass and string band kind of old-time music.
We approach it that way. That's how we try to display it. It's like in a string band fashion, not really so
but
much
actually, you know, if we
band.
Think of anything that might sell, we try to do it.
We got a drummer coming later. Roll in the Marshall amps.
You've been experimenting a lot with electronics. Do you do that yourself, or do you have someone assist you with understanding certain signal to noise ratio, pixel size, overall electronic?
I pretty much do it myself and don't really understand how it works. A friend of mine, Bill Vorndick, a guy that engineers a lot of records, a lot of bluegrass records, an engineer that I work with a lot, understands exactly what they do and tells me when I'm really going down the wrong path. But a lot of the times the wrong path pays off, you know, in that kind of thing for electronics. You know, if you're messing around with a pitch change or something or a reverb, you know, you might just find something that it's different. It's not necessarily wrong.
Well, you know what's kind of neat too? There are a lot of sounds you can get in a studio that are sort of subtle and that wouldn't really strike you as artificial sounding in an obvious way, but that are, and that help you know music come alive. Quite. Jerry's gotten very good at it. Like, we recently just remixed one of the tunes on that record and made a huge difference. You know, you can record music and have the parts all down, but the mixing is really important to getting the most out of what you've got on tape and making it getting the best effect out of it.
Yeah. I do producing, not engineering. I do. It's nothing great. It's a little what are those things called? I don't even know the name of the thing anymore. It's this little four track thing. I hardly ever use it. I'm in the studio so much. Analog. I mix to digital, but I prefer analog tape. And I produced a Maura O'Connell record last year and I mixed that both to DAT. And 3/4-inch digital and a 1/2-inch analog, and chose the 1/2-inch over the digitals. Listening back to it, yeah. I just like analog a lot. I think we're all used to hearing analog, and it's I like the warmth of analog versus digital. Niagara might disagree with me on this.
I think it's heavily influenced by the type of music you do. When analog is getting better, it's got a better dynamic range. Until even the last year or two, if you're recording classical music, the dynamics are so extreme, like the softs are so soft and louds are so loud, that analog was just not an acceptable medium because it's too noisy. So that's in the last couple years that's starting to come around, but it's still questionable. I mean, the digital is good for super dynamic music.
There you go.
Problem playing, I got a G, you can change the G, or you use a cable a lot.
If I'm tuned in G, you mean like playing out of B or playing out of A? Well, my way of looking at that is this, if the tune is modulated and you're playing the tune in G, if the tune modulates to A, physically, you could overdub it, you know. You could overdub it, you know, if you're recording, you could move a capo to A, but physically, I would play it differently in A, and I would just go ahead and play it differently. Playing in a closed position with some open strings in A, if the example is A. I wouldn't be moving a capo around just to play out of G the whole time, out of a G position. Yeah.
What are we playing?
We can play.
Sure. We can play.
We're
really feeling lucky we could do that.
I'm not feeling that lucky. A lot of tunes, you know, we all three record separately too, and a lot of tunes that we record, yeah, like these guys don't know hide and seek, and a lot of tunes Russ's and Eggers and I don't know too, so it's hard for all three of us to play it, and it sounded kind of silly for me to play it by myself.
We can play something like today.
That'd be great.
It's confusing. I cut this song in B flat. We play it in B. I play it with Tim O'Brien. We play it in G. This today. This is called Push Too Far. Thank you.
we're out of time. I'm gonna play one more tune. I'm gonna play Cincinnati Rag, and then we'll leave.
Okay.
Thanks for coming. Hope you all have a good festival. Again, this is Russ Barenberg and Edgar Meyer. I'd like to thank them for helping me out. We're gonna tonight before the big jam starts at the end. We're gonna play 15 or 20 minutes before the whole thing cranks up tonight. Before, so we're not finished yet. We're gonna play it all we can. I'm kind of glad it worked out this way that we could play a little bit. I miss Mike. Mike's a great guy, and I think he could have offered a lot here, but it's worked out all right for me. Be sure you tell Mike that. Thanks.
There promised to be many surprises during this set. The players that are assembled to my left, your right, come to us from Nashville, Tennessee. They have a new Sugar Hill record due out in October. Please welcome Jerry Douglas, Russ Barenberg, and Edgar Meyer.
Thank you.
he said. This is Russ Barenberg on the guitar here. This is Edgar Meyer on the bass. And I'm Jerry Douglas, and we're going to do some songs for you. And after that, we're going to start calling people out one by one, and it's in the. And then we're going to end up with like 4,000 people on stage. It's going to be great. Minus 3,900 or something like that. We even have comedy for you tonight. This is called Through the Gates.
Thanks very much. That was a tune called Through the Gates. And we started with another tune of mine called Our Time. And Jerry, being electronics expert that he is tracking down his problem. All fixed? No? We okay? Well, you guys are all hanging in here pretty darn late tonight. Thanks for staying with us. not only awesome, but rad. Excellent. Thank you very much. That was a tune that Edgar Meyer wrote called Early Morning. Very beautiful.
What do we got, Jer?
I'd like to ask Allison Krauss to come out now. And Charles Sawtell. And Adam Steppy. This is a song that we did on my record, Slide Rule. It's an old Lubin Brothers song. The Lubin Brothers were the first ones I heard do it, and it was always sung by brother acts, and I couldn't figure out exactly why. And so I was thinking one night, boy, this would be a great song for one person to sing. And then I thought, wow, this would be a great song for a woman to sing. And then I thought, this would be a great song for Allison to sing on my record. So this is called I Don't Believe You've Met My Baby. Thank you.
gonna get Ron Block out here.
You wanna do the song with what?
Here comes Allison and Molly O'Brien here. This is really a jam session now.
Is it okay if we do a Sam Cooke tune or? We'll take you back to the 50s, back in the days before there was FM radio.
Honest you do.
Well, we'll do a blues tune instead of a bluegrass tune. We'll do a blues tune. Okay, there's stops on the one, on the first, you know, first of the beginning of each phrase.
Okay,
but when you come, I'll call the stops out, but then we go to four, we'll get everybody come in.
Okay, we don't do anything till then?
Well, this is after everybody's solo. It's called arrangements while you wait. A one, a two, and C. So often, I'm beginning to think it's mine. Well, he draws mine, he's somebody else's too. He's yours, he's mine, he's somebody else's too. And if you don't like it, honey, I'm gonna keep it clean away from you. You know, he keeps it nice and neat. Well, he sometimes feels like a willow tree. He's built like a willow tree. The way that he takes me, you know, really, 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 really sends me. Your man, girl, you better tie him to your side. Cause if he takes my train, I'm gonna let him ride. Oh, better
Oh,
Russ Barenberg.
We have to reset just a little bit here for something that I think you might enjoy.
All right.
Victor Krause is going to come out here to play bass. But Edgar's not exactly leaving.
All right, Edgar.
Have you ever seen, you've seen one person play bass. Have you ever seen two people play one bass? I just asked these guys today if they would mind doing this. I'd seen Edgar do it before, and he said, "Well, I've never met Victor. I really don't know what kind of guy he is, and I don't know if he'd like to do something like that with me." So they stood around and talked together for a while, and I could see them kind of looking at each other, you know. Now, don't get me wrong. I think they get along just fine now. I'm going to leave you with them now. Here's Edgar Meyer and Victor Krause. Bye, Edgar. Bye, Edgar. Edgar Meyer.
Allison said she wants a picture of that. Anybody that got a picture of that next year? Bring us a picture. BR549, Nashville.
Found an open mic down here.
Get down.
We're gonna play an old bluegrass tune called Shenandoah Breakdown now. Good time at the festival. Welcome Pete Wernick to the stage, please.
Thank you.
Pete's gonna sing one now. This is a song we recorded on his record, All on a Rising Day. This is called Midnight Highway.
Was a steel driving man.
We're gonna do one more song. This is gonna be the last one. Thanks for coming. Oh yes. Well, we'll just see about that.
Driving man. cry, no, no. Lay down and tell my baby cry.
Jerry Douglas, Russ Barenberg, Edgar Meyer, and lots of friends.
Okay, you win. Pete and I are going to do one song for you. This is a song called The Wheel of Fortune. Thank you.
edge of town tonight. From my bedroom window I can see the dancing colored lights. Across the meadow I can hear a far off melody. The hurdy-gurdy merry-go-round and the calliope. Sideshow Barker, I can hear his hollow voice saying, lay your money down now, son, you take your choice. Them's easy winnings, Lord, you just lay your dollar down. As the wheel of fortune spinning, spinning round and round. I know my lucky number is coming up from under, but I've still got such a long, long way to go. To the carnival I'm on my way, where I can be found, where the wheel of fortune's spinning, spinning round and round. Stayed up half of the night, sitting on top of the roof. When I woke up this morning, I went outside to look for proof. Where the carnival had stood last night, there was nothing to be found. Just a crumpled, empty popcorn box on the bare and dusty ground. Does the music of the calliope sound like when it can't be heard? What does the sideshow barker say when no one hears his words? The carnival has gone away, it's nowhere to be found. But the wheel of fortune spinning, spinning round and round. Where do the dreams of a little boy go in the cold, cold light of day? To the carnival. I'm on my way where the wheel of fortune spins round and round. I'm on my way. Where the wheel.
We had the maestro, Jerry Douglas. Thank you, folks.
Good night, folks. Thanks a lot. See you tomorrow.